Hi Tom, welcome to our studio.
Nice meeting you.
You did write the book Communication Come Back, and for our listeners and viewers, the book is written in Dutch. It's published by Pelkmans and available on the Dutch market. So our English listeners, sorry, you can't buy the book, but based on this interview, you will get the insights out of it, of course. Tom, maybe to start with, I think we live in a kind of a paradox. There have never been more tools to communicate than today. And yet you bring out a book that says communication come back. Why did you feel the need?
Indeed, there is a paradox. Communication is everything. You start when you are a toddler, you start with communication, you talk every day. Mm-hmm. And instead of understanding, there's a lot of conversation at the moment. But it's also a cry for help to listen, to communicate, to understand. We have a lot of communication and information during the internet, for example. But it's also it's a communication come back to start listening to each other and understand each other and really look in the eyes like me. Mm-hmm. I'm doing like now. Mm-hmm. And try to understand each other. So it's you have the title of the book has two explanations. So it's communication come back, it's a call for action. Mm-hmm. To put it on the table, communication, but also to the communicators, the professionals, to rethink about your future, about your profession, about your craftsmanship.
Yeah, there is also a boomerang on the cover. I suppose the comeback also refers to that.
Indeed. It's the idea of throwing a boomerang. I don't know if you have ever did it before, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Throwing a boomerang. I started a few months ago before I was before the book was published. I tried to launch the boomerang. I'm a left-handed person. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen because all the boomerangs that are available in the shops and on ball.com, for example, and Amazon are right-handed.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know it. It was the same problem for me. So I started, it never happened. It never came back. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, somebody said, yes, but you're left-handed. You need to buy a left-handed. And it came all together. It's not that easy to throw a boomerang. If you want to have a conversation, if you want to that it comes back, you have to have the right tool, the right hand. You have to try and to explain it for yourself how it works. And then afterwards, it's exercising. So it's, I think, the metaphor of the boomerang is you have to try it, but it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. To communicate and to try to have a dialogue. Communication is not only throwing the information and sending information, it's trying to respond, to listen, to communicate, to have contact with each other.
But if we apply that to a business, an organization, an event organizer, whatever, mm-hmm. I think a lot of those companies or people think they already communicate a lot. But what does it look like then to really communicate in the sense you mean it?
It's like you said, we have a lot of communication and a lot of companies are very good communicators. For example, the large companies here in Belgium, we have a lot of good communication experts also. But if you listen to the people and you ask some questions, do you understand the real meaning of the communication? Especially when communication is a tool when you have a crisis, for example, mm-hmm. Then they say there's a lot of information, but where do I find the right information? Where the right spot is? And so it's very difficult to see through all the channels you have for the moment. There are a lot of channels at the moment, yeah, especially digital. We find in our organization a lot of questions. Where can I find the true information? Especially for me, for example, if you go to a shop, you go to a mall, you obtain your information just before for you.
Yeah.
That's the idea to have communication through the whole bunch of information. What I want to understand, and what I try to understand is perhaps something different than you want to obtain the information. So it's in the bubble of communication, the bubble of information. Try to minimalize it and try to have contact. Real contact with each other.
But you say something interesting, and that's something I've been struggling with for some time now. You say people are looking for the true information. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you see on the digital channels a lot of deep fakes.
Indeed.
American presidents, I won't call them by name because otherwise I can't enter
you
the
may,
company,
you may.
country anymore.
Yeah.
But who are just spreading fake news.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, everybody sees that as the truth, or at least a large number of the population.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that as a communication expert? Why do we all believe the deep fakes and not the real honest?
Because they are really good examples. They are really made very professional. That's the problem at the moment. In the early days, deep fakes and bad information was also bad making.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's really good. I have one chapter of the book. I have seven chapters. Mm-hmm. Is about deep fakes and the use of artificial intelligence on creating videos, for example. So it's very, very difficult. I have some interviewees in the book, for example, Wim de Vilde from the mm-hmm. VRT news. And he says that's the most important investment for the VRT at the moment, to see the phase before the information gets distributed to everyone. The phase before is how can we obtain real information and see is it real or is it fake. So it's the same idea in the company. You have to divide it and you have to see what is fake, what is real, and you have to be the divider of real information, the truth. You won't say the name from the American president, but everyone knows.
Yeah, of course.
80-90% of what this person tells is fake. You have to obtain your. This is why I say I call communication also a sort a kind of craftsmanship. If you explain something to me, I trust you. If I explain something to you, I hope you trust me. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we have to have more trust in each other, more open communication, more live communication. There's one chapter about live communication. If we are in a pub, for example, and you tell me something, I can see in your eyes, is it true? Is it we have some mm-hmm. kind of discussion? I don't agree with you, for example. We have some discussion, but in the real time, we are having discussions. And I see in your eyes if it's true or not true. This is something we need to challenge. We have to do more. In the book, there is somebody who says we need to go to the pub. We need to go more to the pub to learn to discuss, to learn mm-hmm. to understand each other, and to try to understand each other about some information, for example, we don't get from another kind of platform.
Yeah.
This is true. This is true live communication, what we are doing.
What I'm interested about is we talked about deep fakes and AI mm-hmm. in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you look as the communication expert at using AI for the good? It can also help write
Absolutely.
Scripts. It can
Absolutely.
Even help create videos.
Yeah.
But for what would you advise use it, and maybe for what not?
Yeah. In our company, we use it every day. And not only the last few months, we are using it before, for some years before, when we create videos, for example. If you want to have this panel discussion, for example, and we want to have a winter version, and I tell you, Kevin, I need to have the same interview we have at the moment with some other clothes, for example, mm-hmm. or you and me with some long hair. Imagine that. No, that this is for the benefit of the truth indeed, and this is creating the video more experience, more lookalike from the thing we want, for example. So we use it very, very well. But often we tell to the customer or to a client, to this is what we did. This is the earlier adaption from the earlier video, for example, or the earlier text we created. We put it in some in Claude, for example, or ChatGPT, and afterwards we created something extra.
Mm-hmm.
The extra value is important, but also telling to each other when we are using it and for what example that we're using it.
And aren't you afraid that if you start, and changing clothes is still very not aggressive use of AI, but you can also go a step further and, for example, rewrite somebody's sentences and start generating it. Where do we touch the point that we say as a viewer, okay, but this is not real, this is not authentic?
This is what example that I tell about craftsmanship. You have to be, when you are a communicator, you have to have some values. You have to have some format in which you want to be creative with AI, for example. But you have to have your own values to where it ends. Yeah? From, for example, ACC, the Confederation for Communication Professionals, has also some listing how we go further with AI. But you have to have some framework in which you want to be creative. What are the boundaries to which, and you have to have a conversation, and you have to go in dialogue with your client, with the other one, with the other person who creates something. And when we go over the boundaries, what is the effect? What is the result? And do we have the same idea from the things we created? Because AI is an experience like never been before. It's very, very interesting for us as communication professionals, for everyone.
But and especially because you were talking before about personalized communication.
Absolutely.
If one tool can do that, it's exactly that.
But tell to the other person what is created authentic and what is created by. I have no problem with something that is information. If I'm talking with a chatbot, I know I'm talking with a chatbot. But don't tell me this is the real person. No, tell me it's a chatbot. I have no problem, but I'm not communicating with a human being. So, yeah. And I think that is the most important thing. Tell me about it. Be honest. And then I think it's an amplifier as never seen before.
On top of communication expert, you're also a prevention advisor and a crisis communicator. We did publish one of your columns, I think it was yesterday, what has been happening in the event industry last weekend. For people who don't live in Belgium, we had a kind of a heat wave followed with a terrible storm. A lot of events cancelled. And also there, you had a strong opinion on how we should deal with that as organizers.
It's a little bit the same. Communication is the feel who's the threat, the red line through all the events is communication. Indeed, we have some examples from cancellations of events here in Belgium. And on the other hand, people said, why is this event going on? Why is this on Saturday? We had 40 degrees. Why is this event still occurring? And why is this still being organized? And what I'm telling in the opinion is we have to see an organizer as a professional. And he's not organizing it all by himself. He's organizing it with the local authorities, with the safety people from which are around in the event. And then you put all things together and you see, I'm always telling you, you have to start with the risk, not only is it bad weather, is it good weather, is 40 degrees for...
Yeah, because otherwise, 40 degrees as such... That's not a problem.
That's no problem. I hope you're enjoying in a few weeks on 40 degrees on a beach, for example. So this is not the discussion we want to have. The discussion is we have 40 degrees and this kind of event with this kind of people, with this kind of atmosphere, with this kind of organization, what are the threats? What are the risks we are concerning about? And this is the way that we need to go. So this means that perhaps an event in the same city for 10,000 people, elder people who are 70 or 80 years old, is perhaps cancelled. And another event with youngsters on 5 or 6 kilometers on the other side of the same city, it's possible that it's well being organized and it's
because
no problem.
Maybe also took other preventions like sprinklers or
indeed,
water.
Indeed, also so the safety measures that are made, the risks, the people who are hurt, what is the flow, who are they organized, are there shelters or not? And especially when we say we need to evacuate or we need to annulate, that we need to stop with the event, what is happening afterwards? You have an event where everyone on 5 minutes take their bicycle and go to their home, and other, especially the large events, they need to count, they need to rethink, and say, if we end our event 2 hours before the normal hour of the event, are there enough trains, for example? Are there buses already? What if we could tell to everyone you need to leave the premises, the building, for example? What is happening? You annulate your event, you stop at your event, perhaps you have 80,000 or 100,000 people who are standing on front of your event. You're still responsible as an organizer. So, and this is why I say communication is very important. I've heard some annulations of events, but I'm always trying to listen why they did it and what did they tell to the people who are over there.
Mm-hmm. Because it led to some frustration. Eh? If you look at the DEF CON 1 event in the Netherlands, there was a lot of frustration because of people were already on the camping. They flew in from many different countries, and then they get the news, it's cancelled. What is the best approach to bring such a message? Because it will never be an easy one.
There will always be frustrations, always. Mm-hmm. If you're a student and you are after your exams and you want to go, especially this weekend, what happened, a lot of students over there, you've paid 100 or 200 or 300 euros, I would also be frustrated, mm-hmm. especially when you're a student at that age. So it's very, very difficult to go against the frustration. But I think the most important thing to have an open, inspiring communication and tell why did we stop this event and what have happened, what are the main reasons to have this end and final discussion? Why did we stop it? And then communicate in a consensus, always the same and all together. I see a lot of people who are telling the governor of the mayor says this, mm-hmm. the organizer said that, then somebody from the fire company says this, and then afterwards everyone hears different. They're not speaking about one voice. You have mm-hmm. to speak in one voice. You have to try to have a consensus. It's not that easy mm-hmm. because the organizer is normally not very happy.
No, and I can imagine. And
I would be the same. But if you then tell, okay, this is the consensus, this is the way we want to tell it to everyone, and you as an organizer, you are frustrated, I know, but try to understand why and tell the same story, tell the same idea to everyone mm-hmm. and be realistic in your communication. But it's very difficult. It's absolutely very difficult. So that's why a few weeks ago, we were also here and I told about creating scenarios, eh? Mm-hmm. making, this is a scenario. If you don't have a scenario as a professional organizer with, we end our event a few hours before the normal event ends, then you have a problem. You have to have a scenario. You have to organize this all before and you have to train it. A few years ago, I said, you have to train these kind of things. If you have only the mayor who says, we stop the event, and then in 5 or 10 minutes, you have to create a communication plan, see what are the channels, try to have the tone of voice. That's very important. What is the tone of voice? You have to tell, mm-hmm. we stop the event.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not the communication you want to have. Mm-hmm. So we do it on social media, we do not live on stage. And this weekend, a lot of cancellations of events were live on stage. Then you have what I call live communication. You have the boo. Eh? Everyone says boo. Yes, you have to be alert for it. And you have to open also your arms. Let it flow.
Well, what I did see this weekend was on Instagram, I think it was a video of an organizer who was on stage doing a video to bring the message to the audience. Yeah. Well, it's not going to happen, this event, this weekend. But what I really liked about the video, and I don't think it was intentional, is you saw a man who was describing, well, fuck, we've been building this event for so many years. I feel so frustrated, but because of your security, we're canceling. I don't know what will happen yet, but we will try to do it again in the future. But it was such an honest, authentic communication that it got a lot of likes.
Yeah. And you have the same frustration, but you understand the organizer. You see the tears in his eyes or her eyes. You see, we are building this for months. I wanted to have an experience. We all wanted to have this experience. We're all in this together. This mm-hmm. is the feeling you need to create. I mean, not you need to create, but it's the best atmosphere or the best idea you want to create. We're all in this together. We all have the same shit. The firefighters, the people of the medical support, they're all in this together. And then you have some authentic communication, what I tell in the book.
Yeah.
But you don't minimalize it. You have the same frustration. And I don't understand often mayors or hotel we stopped the event by because it's 40 degrees. This is nothing. I don't understand it.
No, because that's not the reason.
No, this is a
it because some, this we, is we
in, like
older,
in a cocktail. Yeah. You have 40 degrees. You have some uncertainties. We have some problems. We're thinking about the trains, or if it's 1 o'clock in the night, and we start our phasing out of the event, and it starts raining. We have the problems not on our well organized event, because that is often the problem. Your event is well organized. If something happens, you have rain, no problem. But when you have the flow out, the flood out of the people, and you need to organize this kind of exit, and you have to organize it on the extra, you don't have lights, for example, you have no sound, you have no audio to have connection. Mm-hmm. And if you try, then okay, that's why we organize this event well here, and we stop 2 or 3 hours before. So try to communicate. And indeed, an organizer who has been organizing for months, I have a lot of colleagues who sent me some information, tried to have some information and sent me this weekend. This is heartbreaking. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
this is heartbreaking for those people.
Because for a lot of those companies, it can mean the end of such a company. And that's why...
Financial, not only financial, but the heart. It's
indeed. And that was what I did find very weird. A lot of events were communicating, in my perspective, very good, like saying, okay, this is what's happening, this is what we're doing. And by the way, guys, we will be looking into the compensations and we'll come back to that.
Indeed.
But then you have a Belgian minister, Minister Beenders, who was at the same evening saying, I want all those organizers to immediately start telling when people mm-hmm. will get their money back. For me, that was the wrong message, because all the organizers were already communicating that they would look into it, but give those organizers at least a few days to figure that out.
Yeah. Indeed. And organizers, we have a lot. Belgium is well known. We have the best organizers here in Belgium. We have the best festivals here in Belgium. We have a lot of experience. We have a lot of creative talent. We have a community. So we are doing very, very well in Belgium in organizing things. But the climate is changing. And give us some time to see how it mm-hmm. happens. This weekend was a wonderful weekend. We had some problems. We had some difficulties. But if in the meantime, we have more than 1 million people who were on the events everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's not only, telling this book, it's not only the negative atmosphere you need to have in the conversation. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of good, well-organized events this weekend. We had a lot of fun on the events.
Yeah, and there were also events that could go through because they took all the measures
absolutely
needed.
Absolutely. So don't try, as a media, don't try to focus on only the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of good, well-organized events. And even the events who were cancelled or cancelled for one evening, because we had a lot of events for 3 or 4 days, where just one evening was mm-hmm. a cancellation of not all the event, but sometimes only a few hours. Talk about that. Talk about the professionality of the organizers. Try to tell to everyone, this is gold. We have gold in our hands here in Belgium on organizing events.
But even the consumer protection agency, Testa & Coop in Belgium, mm-hmm. said, well, give those organizers a break. They're doing what...
Absolutely. Give them some
it was
breathing.
such a good message from such an organization. Yeah, it was heartwarming to see that even such an organization can also bring that kind of message.
Indeed. Because it's difficult. Eh? You have bought a ticket. You saw some artists on stage. And you just missed the last one. Is this then a cancellation of your event from mm-hmm. your ticket? Or is it just 10% that you didn't see? So it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Organizing events is very difficult, and just don't try to minimize it, to have a complex organization in a complex atmosphere with a complex communication. Don't try to minimize it in black and white. That's what I put also in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only black and white, it's always gray. It's something in between. And talk with the organizer. The organizer has a lot of contact with his customers, with his clients, with his fans. So bring it all together, bring this kind of information, and not only from the political way, put yourself, this is why I tell, bring communication on the table. Put communication there where it needs, there where you focus on the strategy, there where you create something, and not only afterwards.
Statistically looking, if you organize events on a regular basis at one time, you will come in such a situation that you will need to communicate.
Indeed.
Maybe you also already answered that question, but what can you do now to prepare for that moment? Is that the scenarios you were talking about, or is there anything else you can do as an organizer to prepare yourself for such a moment?
Yeah, it's indeed the scenarios. You have to have your FAQ, your frequently asked questions. What will happen if this occurs in my the weather from 2011? We have the weather in our exercise. Yep. Unfortunately, we have the changing of the climate. We have the communication skills and the problems with a lot of drugs, for example, on events. So we have a lot of things that are going on events, not only in the bad way, but events are growing and growing. Huh? 50,000 people is nothing. 60,000 people, nothing. 80,000 people is nothing. Huh? So we have a lot of large events. And it's the same as organizing your city. Mm-hmm. It's the same as a mayor who says, I've 100,000 people in my city. We need to organize something about food, some medical support, some fire department, police on the other hand. So that's the way you need to organize an event. It's like a community. It's like a city. And we have a lot of good organizers who also are doing this for a few months. So when I tell it's scenario, it's repeating each other's, it's having communication, and especially learning from each other's. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of good festivals. Try to see how is the organizer on the other side doing it. So you have the larger, they come together, they learn from each other, they invest.
Is that already happening enough?
Not enough, but it's happening at the moment. We have the Confederation, for example. You have a lot of festivals who are putting their doors open for the others. It's not especially in the festival side, it's not like having competition or concurrence. No, it's more we're dealing with the same problems. We're dealing with the same popularity. We have the same population, I want to tell. So they're learning from each other very well, mm-hmm. more than 10 years ago, indeed. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe last question. If you go back to the book, mm-hmm. if there would be one thing you find the most important, what readers should remember after reading your book, what would that be?
Put communication not only in the execution phase, but there where you start with thinking. You want to have a growth in your company. You want to have a discussion with somebody. You want to have, you put your strategy all together. Eh? Everyone is starting from an idea of a strategy. Mm-hmm. Then when there's this sparkle, this idea, then you need to have communication right at that moment. You have to start thinking, how I'm going to communicate, what are my channels, what is my population, start bringing communication there where it needs, mm-hmm. at the front of the table, on the front of the table where you put yourself together as a father, as a mother in your family, as a CEO of your company, as a teacher. There where it starts, where you want to create something, when you have your strategy, you have your vision, then you start communicating.
All right, Tom. Thank you so much for coming to the studio. People, don't forget to order the book. It's a perfect read. We also did put it in our list of books to read this summer.
Thank you.
Tom, thank you so much for coming over.
Thank you.